This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, الحمد لله بإذن الله تعالى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us another Jumu'ah and let us take full advantage of that because this is that beautiful, it is our weekly holy day, it is our weekly day of Eid. And alhamdulillah, this is a day when we come together in the masajid physically and we bring our hearts together on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jama' of the qulub on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This is also, and it is the real purpose of Jumu'ah inshallah. And then we spend some time reminding each other about matters of interest, matters of great value, about our lives, both in this world and the next. And that is what these khutab are all about. My brothers and sisters, somebody sent me this very nice note, which is from Sheikh Amar al-Shukri, who said about his experience in the class of Sheikh Abdullah al-Shaqiti, Hafizahullah, one of the great scholars of Medina, the master of Tafsir and Usul al-Fiqh, the principles of Islamic law. In his class, he mentioned in passing, Sheikh Shukri says, that he mentioned in passing, that the root causes of entering Jahannam are four, and the root causes of entering Jannah are also four. Sheikh Shukri says, I waited for him to clarify, but he didn't. He went on to a different topic. So after the class, after the session, after his lecture was over in the question and answer session, he said, I asked him to clarify what he meant by the roots being four. And he said, that does not need clarification. Then he held up his fingers to count. He said, okay, read from Ma Salakakum Fi Saqar. And this is from Surah Muddassir. Ma Salakakum Fi Saqar. What caused you to be in Saqar, which is one of the stages of Jahannam? So Sheikh Shukri recited, Qalu Lam Naku Min Al Musalleen. وَلَمْ نَكُوا نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَقُودُ مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. He said four things. قَالُوا, these people who were being led into the hellfire, they said, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not of those who prayed. Right? We were not of those who prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُوْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. So, Sheikh Shinkiti said, that is one. He held up his finger, that is one. وَلَمْ نَكُوْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not feed the poor. He said, that is two. وَكُنَّا نَقُودُ مَعَ الْقَائِدِينَ. And we used to indulge with those who indulged. And he held up his third finger. He said, that is three. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And he held up his finger, and the meaning of that, and we used to deny the day of resurrection. He held up his finger and he said, that is four. Then he said, now recite from قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are successful. So Sheikh Shukri recited قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Sheikh Shinkiti said, that is one. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. So, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are successful. He said, that is one. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are those who have khushu in their salah, who are mindful in their salah. He said, that is two. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they are those who avoid useless talk. He said, that is three. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَعِلُونَ. And he said, and they are those who pray zakat. He said, that is four. And then he said to Sheikh Shukri and to the class, He said, and notice, the ayah, they pay their zakat, is in contrast to, we did not feed the poor. And the ayah, and those who avoid useless talk, is in contrast to, and we used to indulge with those who indulge. And the ayah, and those who are mindful in their salah, who have khushu in their salah, is in contrast to, we were not of those who prayed. And he said, the ayah, the believers have succeeded, is in contrast to, we used to deny the day of resurrection. And he then smiled and said, the Quran is filled with treasures, we just have to dive for them. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that the foundation of everything is attitude. With respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only attitude that is acceptable is total and complete submission and obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا خَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, it is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in that matter, that they should have any option in that decision. When a decision of Allah has come, when a decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come, then for a believer to have another opinion, to a believer to say, I don't agree, for a believer to say, I've got an issue with this, this is not acceptable at all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed in plain error. So what is the only acceptable position for the believer, man or woman, with regard to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ahkam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to say, Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. O Allah, we have heard and we will obey, and please forgive us, and to you is our return. This is obedience with knowledge of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what our relationship with Him is. It is with the understanding that He decreed, that whatever He decreed is indeed the best for us, and that He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Al-Numan bin Bashir radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah said, verily the lawful is clear and the unlawful is clear, and between the two of them are doubtful matters about which many people do not know. Thus, he who avoids doubtful matters clears himself in regard to his religion and his honor, and he who falls into doubtful matters will fall into the unlawful, as the shepherd who pastures his animals, his sheep, near a sanctuary, all but grazing therein. Verily, every king has a sanctum, and the sanctum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his prohibitions. Verily, in the body is a piece of flesh, which if sound, the entire body is sound, and if corrupt, the entire body is corrupt. Truly, it is the heart. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim, and it is agreed upon, muttafaqun alayh. If we look at all of the above, we see the following sequence. It begins with a firm belief in Akhirah. That is the hallmark of the mu'mineen, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they have succeeded. Akhirah was the sticking point with the mushrikeen of Makkah. The ideas that we don't end when we die, that we will be resurrected, and we will be held accountable, and we will be rewarded or punished, all these ideas were alien to them, and many of them rejected this truth. Those who believed accepted Islam, and they are the ones about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The mu'mineen have succeeded. A belief in the akhirah, in the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look forward to it and to live our lives in a way that the meeting will be good, insha'Allah, is the foundation of all goodness and the foundation of our religion. This belief is expressed and proven by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and that is Salah. To establish Salah is the most important commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an expression of the purpose of our existence, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. Salah is evidence that we are Muslim. If it is absent in our lives, then there is no evidence, there is no proof that we believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The third principle is charity, which is expressed in the form of compulsory charity, that is zakat, and voluntary charity, which is feeding the poor and other good deeds. Islam came as much as a social reform movement as it did as a religion. It is this aspect that was so difficult for the power mongers of Makkah to accept. The concept of equality of all human beings, irrespective of race and color and gender and lineage, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea that women have the same rights and privileges as men, with difference between them in terms of duties and responsibilities. The idea that wives were to be treated with respect, and that men couldn't just marry as many women as they wished. The idea that inheritance was to be regulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of humility, of no ostentation, good manners, and many more. All these were dangerous ideas which were designed to upset their social order, the social order of Makkah at the time, which the leaders of Makkan society fought tooth and nail. But these were and are the foundations of the Islamic system, which is based on justice, compassion, kindness, concern for one another, helping one another, and respect for all people. The fourth principle of not being self-indulgent in a way that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the loop to the belief in the akhirah. Those who believe in the akhirah and the meeting with Allah do not indulge their base desires, because they know that this displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do so is against the concept of taqwa, which is expressed through salah and zakat and being careful of the hudud, the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last injunction also points, this last injunction of not being self-indulgent, also points to the importance of keeping good company, because we tend to be influenced by our friends. This needs no convincing, as we are all aware of this in our lives. Hanging out, we advise our children about this and get justifiably concerned if we find them hanging out with the wrong kind of people. But we are less conscious of this in our own lives. That is because we need first to be clear about what is good and what is not. We tend to see good and bad in a purely material sense instead of in terms of ethics and values and behavior. The foremost of those ethics and values is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and living according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all aspects of our lives. This is and must be our criterion. This must be our criterion to judge who we should be with, and to ask ourselves if we ourselves are fit to be good companions for others. In conclusion, I would like to remind myself and you that these four matters are also an excellent format for us to use to evaluate ourselves from time to time, to see how we are doing. I'm a great believer in documentation and systems, and so I would suggest that we spend 1 hour every month. Fix a day when we look at our life over the past month to see how it measured against these four criteria. The first one is belief in the Akhirah and accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden. About this, ask yourself, how conscious was I about this in the past month? And then look for evidence for that. If you say, I was very conscious, what did you do? What are the actions which show that you were conscious? If you feel, no, I was not conscious, then what did you actually do which now proves to you that you were not conscious? Because you want to reinforce the good and you want to leave the bad. So you need to know what it is, right? Second question to ask is, what am I pleased about? And therefore, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Be specific about that. I'm pleased about the fact, alhamdulillah, that in the last month I prayed tahajjud every day. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to give me istiqamah. So I continue for that. I continue that in the rest of my life. Third question to ask is, where did I slip up and need to be more conscious about? What are the things that I slipped up and where do I need to be more conscious? That is the first one, which is belief in the Akhirah. Second one is establishing Salah. In this context, again, ask three questions. How many times did I pray on time? For anyone who has difficulty with that, I suggest maintain a diary. When you pray, make a table, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and then keep ticking off so that you are sure that you have prayed. And issue is, prayed on time, not delay it and so on and some tail end of the... No, pray on time. As soon as the time comes, pray. Do not delay in the Salah. How many times did I pray on time? Number two, what is the state of my Salah? How much of khushu do I have? Do I have concentration in my, are my thoughts, everything wandering and so on? Is there any improvement? Number three, what am I pleased about and what needs improvement? Like the one before, I did something good, alhamdulillah, I thank Allah, I need to change, I will change. Principle number, the criteria number three is zakat and sadaqat. Ask this question, how much charity did I give? Number, that's a number, right? I gave so many dollars. Question number two, what is my attitude about charity? Do I consider it a cash outflow or do I consider it an investment with an assured high return? An investment, the return for which is guaranteed by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the minimum return of that is 1:10. How do I look at charity? And my answer, whichever it is, will be supported by how much charity I give. Because if charity to me is a investment with a guaranteed high return, then I'm going to give as much charity as I can, not as little as I can. If charity to me is a net cash outflow, then it's an expense, and obviously I will control that expense. So my own actions will mirror that. And so question to ask is, what needs to change? Final one, number four, lifestyle, social life, company, leisure, time management. With regard to all this, ask the question, what am I happy about and what must change and what is my plan for that? How am I going to change what I think I need to change? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that in the end, it doesn't matter what we know. What matters is what we do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do that which is pleasing to Him always, to keep you in that state where you always do things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of Allah is the single criterion for all decision making in your life. And when you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you in a state where He is pleased with you. Just yesterday, my friend Wasim Rafihi from Australia sent me a clip of a brother who passed away reading the Quran. There's some security camera in that room which recorded this. He's passing away by reading the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, when your time comes, to take you in a state of complete and total obedience to Him, doing something which pleases Him, whether it is Salah in sujood or whether it is reading Quran or whatever it is that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to take you in that state, because remember, we will be resurrected in the state in which we died. And that's the reason why it's very important to ensure that we never do something which will put us in a situation where we are doing something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we die in that state. We don't want to do that. But Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you. May Allah protect you. May Allah keep you in His safety. This COVID thing seems to be again coming. A sort of surge seems to be coming. I again, once again, and very, very seriously, I want to advise all of you, please take this seriously. This is not a joke. This is not just some flu. This is a serious matter. Protect yourself. Inshallah al-Mustaan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His protection. But tie the camel. In your case, that camel is tied by the mask on your face. And it is tied by the time, by the number of times you wash your hands. Please do that. Avoid all gatherings. Avoid all crowds. Don't go wandering here and there unnecessarily. Stay at home and use this time, inshallah, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get close to your families, to put your life in order and make a lot of dua, make lots and lots of istighfar, especially today for Jummah, make lot of istighfar, send lots and lots of salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, there is that hour that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about, the sa'a in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you that sa'a, to make you ask the du'as that are pleasing to Him and which are beneficial to you, and to give you that which you ask with khair and afia, and to add to that from His majesty and generosity and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.